Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Women Emerging podcast. I'm Julie Middleton, Director of Women Emerging. Every week I speak with women around the world of different ages and in different sectors about how they lead, because we need many more women leading in the world today. We explore how women lead differently and do it their way, which is authentic, fulfilling, and highly effective. Don't delegate strategy, don't delegate comms, and don't delegate talent. This week's episode is, yep, you've guessed it, about delegating. A word that sort of slips easily off the tongue is generally accepted as critical and is generally not done very well when we lead. So I spoke to Katie, who's a very senior police officer in the UK. If she gets delegation wrong, if she delegates too much, the price is huge. But if she delegates too little, she would argue, I think, that it's possibly an even greater price. So I jumped at the opportunity to talk to Katie and to get her really, really practical advice. So, Katie, come on then. When do you delegate?
So it's a hard decision about when you delegate. And I think it depends on the role you're in, the problem you're dealing with, and the expectation of those around you. So for me, in my role, I deal with the strategy and I delegate the implementation and the tactical delivery of whatever it is that we're trying to resolve. If you're really clear about what your expectations are and what you want to be delivered, and you can delegate that and ask others to do that, then that will probably, you know, foster trust and empowerment, because you've told people what the expectation is and you want them to go and then deliver it. And if you're doing that, then you're kind of building a strong team, you're allowing people to, you know, make mistakes or make their own decisions, and you're allowing individuals to grow into their leadership roles. Look for you.
Have you always been good at delegating?
No. I've always been very good at saying yes to things and taking on responsibility and thinking through how I might learn and innovate because I'm taking on new opportunities or new things. But learning to delegate, I think, is actually quite a tricky thing. And I think it takes time to actually understand your own strengths and weaknesses and how you can make decisions that will allow others to find their own way as well around strengths and weaknesses. So I don't think I've always been a good delegator. I think quite often I find it frustrating to delegate, and actually I would want to do things myself. So I know it's up to the standard that I want and expect. And having that ability to trust that people will do as good a job as you think you would do is quite tricky, actually. But you've got to do it, particularly as you become more senior in your leadership position, because that's how you learn and that's how you create talent and bring people forward so that they can be the leaders of the future. It is tricky.
So in the early days, you were tempted not to delegate because it was just too risky to do that. And you just thought that you could take more and more on your own shoulders and that would be fine.
Yeah, I think that is part of it. I think it does depend on the issues you've got and how safe you feel. And I say that in particularly because I'm dealing in people's lives. I'm dealing in policing where there is risk, and to be able to delegate issues around risk can be quite complex. So you do have to have that ability to
complex
have a strong
and frightening. Complex, yeah, and frightening.
Because you make the wrong decision or you delegate the wrong issue, or you don't have grip around something, and that can lead to adverse consequences for individuals or the organisation, depending on what you've got, really.
So what happens if you don't delegate?
Personally, I think it can be quite impactful because you become overwhelmed, you can be stressed, it can affect your mental health, your well-being. You don't feel like you deliver, you don't feel like you're achieving because you've got so many things on. Things get missed, there's risk there, things get dropped, or you don't, you let people down because you don't deliver or you don't turn up or you don't chair the meeting or whatever it might be. But at the same time, if you don't delegate, there's also an impact on your staff because they may well feel undervalued. You know, why are you not giving me this piece of work? Why are you not allowing me to develop? Why are you not allowing me to help you with the problems? So I think it's twofold. There can be the individual impact, but there can also be the team impact as well.
I wonder, do you think also if you don't delegate, you sort of end up in the weeds? And if the job as a leader is to see the whole picture, if you don't delegate, you just won't see the whole picture.
Yeah, you become absolutely involved in the tactics and the tactical issues. And, you know, if I reflect on my own career in policing, that can be a messy place to be. And how can you have that innovative space, that creativity space, if you're so busy doing all of the things that you want to do and not having the time and capability to just take that step back and say, right, what's next? Where are we wanting to take the team, the organisation, the problem?
Tell me a bit about the things that you shouldn't delegate.
So that's a really interesting question. And I think it really depends on the issue that you've got, the problem that you've got. There are times when delivering bad news shouldn't be delegated. You know, there are times when there might be some organisational change that's going to be detrimental to people that you as the leader need to be fronting up and explaining the why. And I think quite often communications can get lost in translation as they travel through the organisation. So I think there are some things, particularly around communication, that you should not delegate. You should deliver yourself so that you are clear that everyone is getting the message as you want it to be relayed. And I think that for me, that's probably the key thing that worries me sometimes around people just saying, right, take my message and make sure everybody gets that information. And unless you go and test that it's landed in the right way, for me, it's about you making sure that you've got your words, your passion or your issue out into that communication. I mean, I've just written some communications around some organizational change, or some it's been written for me and I've gone through it and changed quite a lot of it because I want it to be articulated in my language and I want to make sure that everyone will receive that the way I intend it to be received. But you know, quite often I'll do short videos or films, and we do that quite a lot in our organization to make sure that as the strategic leader you are delivering the message in the way that you want it to be heard. So I think, yeah, communications are probably the thing that I would be nervous about delegating unless there are some kind of strict parameters around how that works.
Do you delegate strategy?
Very rarely would I delegate strategy. What I would do is I would collaborate on it, and they're different things. So rather than saying, go and write me a strategy for how we're going to introduce this piece of work or how we're going to deliver policing in a public order situation, you know, that's my responsibility as a senior leader. But that doesn't mean I do it all by myself.
Do you delegate talent development?
Well, that's a very good question. So you could talk about every officer is a leader. There's a book actually entitled Every Officer is a Leader. And every officer and every member of staff is talented in their own way. And what we need to do is unpick that talent and think about how we can develop it and how we can utilise it for the organisation and for the communities that we serve. So I do delegate talent management because I expect my command team, the people that work for me, to be thinking through who they have within their teams, who are the next upcoming leaders, and what we can do to support them. So I think talent management is really important, and I don't think we do it enough. So whilst you might say, yes, delegate it down so everybody has the responsibility to think through who are the next leaders and how you bring them forward, there is also some things that I will do as a senior leader and a senior female leader around talent development, and developing through our women's network, for example, good programmes to support women in the organisation and to try and improve the number of senior female police officers, for example. We can say we delegate that, but actually I've got a responsibility as a role model. As the, you know, I'm the most senior female police officer in the organisation I work in. I've got an absolute responsibility to develop talent in that space to make sure I'm not the only one. And when I move on, that there are others that will take my place and supersede me. So talent management, I think there is an expectation that you delegate it because it's everybody's responsibility as a leader or manager to bring people forward. But there's also some key roles that you think, no, this is my responsibility to do something about this. It's my responsibility to make sure, I think, women in policing know that you can be a senior leader and a mother and an academic and all the other things at the same time.
So in principle, in a funny way, Katie, you're saying don't delegate the comms, don't delegate the strategy. Actually, you're saying don't delegate the development of the talent. Don't delegate the standards, but pretty well delegate everything else. If in doubt, delegate.
Yeah, yeah. It's not if in doubt, it's trust, isn't it? It's trust that you're so I don't think it's about kind of palming things off. I go in and trust the people that I work with because I have high expectations that we have put around them professional development, good standards, and they will deliver. And I trust that they will do that. And therefore they do what they need to do in their everyday lives to deliver a good policing outcome for our organisation and for their communities. I think what you've kind of articulated there is I've got some really key things that I think are important for me as a senior leader to be saying these are my responsibility so that you understand the framework and the message and then you can go and deliver. And I suppose I could give a little example. I was doing some work around my master's. I'd written an article that had got published in a journal on domestic abuse attrition rates. And it was starting to get traction. And I thought, you know what? There are individuals like me and across policing who have done academic work, done some good research, got some really good recommendations. And as an organisation, we're not doing anything with that. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to create my own internal journal, Thames Valley Police Journal, and I'm going to collate everyone that's doing academic work in policing in Thames Valley. I'm going to ask them to submit their articles and I'm going to create this journal. And I thought about it and I was actually in an interview. I was in my interview for promotion to superintendent and you always get asked a question around innovation. And I was articulating to the then chief constable my idea. And he said to me, crack on, why are you asking me for permission almost to create this piece of work? You know, crack on, it's a good idea. And since then, I talk quite a lot when I'm talking to staff around, you don't need permission to do a good thing. You don't need permission to make improvements. What you need to do is make sure that you're discussing it and make sure that you're sharing it and you know, things may not work and that's fine, but actually if you've got that creativity and that innovation and you want to do something good, don't wait for permission, don't wait for the delegation to come down and say that's a good idea, you're allowed to do that one, that's a good idea, you're allowed to do that one, but you're not allowed to do that because that doesn't sound very good. It's got to be the other way around. It's got to be a presentation of this is what I've done, this is what I've achieved, this is how I'm making things better. Now why don't we spread the message, why don't we do this everywhere?
You also used an expression earlier of that if you're going to delegate something, you need to articulate the outcome.
Yeah.
Tell me what you mean by that.
So I think that's probably quite a policing terminology, and that's where you kind of think back and you go, well, we're ingrained in that.
But yeah, I think it may be policing, but it's very helpful. So keep going.
Yeah, so I think what I'm trying to say is that as a leader, I haven't got all the good ideas. I don't know all the processes. I don't know how we might want to achieve something. But what I would want to say is, this is the outcome. This is the thing I want us to achieve. This is the stage I want to get to. So it might be an improvement in performance. It might be a different way that we want to deliver safeguard, whatever it might be. This is the outcome I think we need to achieve. So everyone is clear about that line that we're trying to get to. And then you allow them, give them the permission. You just expect and trust that they will go away and come up with the options, the suggestions, the process, the system to reach that point. Because you can't, it's that thing we just talked about getting into the weeds and becoming too tactical. I'm not there to be in every step of the way. I'm there to articulate what I think we as the organisation or I personally want. And then I want the team to go away and achieve that. So an example would be, we want to, in Thames Valley, increase our charge rate for criminal prosecutions. We want to charge more individuals in relation to crimes that have been committed. But as the lead for that area of business, I haven't got all the answers, and I wouldn't be expected to have all the answers. But I've asked my team to go away and come up with suggestions, to look at good evidence-based practice, look at what other forces are doing, to look at our out-of-court disposals work and see where we can learn from the improvements we've made there, to think through how we're dealing with victims and whether that might have an impact. So there's all these things that different individuals will have responsibility for, and then they can come together to come up with a plan of how we will achieve that line in the sand of increasing the outcomes, increasing the charge rate. But I think if you just say, oh, we want to increase performance, that doesn't land, because that's you know, quite grey.
But also if you say, we want to increase charge rates and this is how I think you should do it, then people go off, they're stuck with how you said they should do it. You're not there. And when it doesn't work, they don't feel empowered to do it in a different way, knowing what you eventually want to achieve.
Exactly. Exactly right. And I don't know the answer, you know?
Who should you delegate to?
I think you should delegate to the right person. That sounds really simplistic. Because who's the right person?
It does.
Who's the right person? How do you know? But I think there are a number of things you can think through. So is the delegation simply to the individual that reports into you? So you supervise somebody, the person that reports into you, the next level down is the person you delegate to. That works quite often, particularly in a hierarchical organisation. This is the problem. This is what you want to do about it. You go and deliver with your team. But I think there is also something around diversity of skill, diversity of expertise, diversity of thought, and quite often reaching out to different individuals to see if they have got ideas or solutions or to give them opportunities to develop is really important as well. So there are some things that absolutely would go to those that are in my line management, but there are some things that I would offer out, or I will go to particular individuals because I think they've got a specific strength that will help me resolve the problem. You can delegate down, but I think you can delegate wide and outwards as well.
Why do you think people find delegating so difficult?
Because they like to have control. Because they like to know what's going on, because they like to know that everything is being done exactly as they want it to be done. Being in control, I think, is quite a problem.
There's ego there too, isn't there? You don't delegate because you somehow think you're more clever, more important.
Yeah, I think that can be a problem. I think ego can be a problem, but I also think fear can be a problem. And, you know, fear that it will go wrong and you'll be blamed, fear that you didn't make the right decision to choose the right person to delegate to, and what that then means as a consequence for you and your responsibilities and your role. So, yeah, I think it is ego. I think it's trust. I think it's fear. All of those things.
So when you begin to feel any of those, what do you say to yourself?
Generally, it's about talking and communicating and making sure you've got that support, finding your coach or your mentor and just saying, look, I've got this issue. I could sort it out, or I could give it to somebody else. I'm worried about giving it to that other person for whatever the reasons are. And being able to articulate those reasons and talk them through can sometimes be quite helpful to go, you know what, this is I'm just being silly here, or actually, you know what, that is going to be a problem. So I will give it to that person, but there'll be some parameters where I want them to come back to me and talk to me when they get to the point at which I think it will become a bit tricky for them.
Katie, thank you very, very much. You know, sometimes people ask me how I choose the women to interview on this podcast. And the answer is that I choose women who'll tell me true, who won't read from a paper, whose eyes are not on a PowerPoint, whose ears are not constantly attuned to what shouldn't be said, and whose mouths are not muffled by advisors and scriptwriters. It's far more interesting to talk about subjects like delegating with people who, like Katie, offer generously and, of course, are careful about their examples so as to avoid the tripwires. But what they really want to do is generously share what they've learnt, and no doubt in the process learn a bit themselves. The words may not sort of string together string together nicely in a sort of series of hashtags of standard words about leading. They're practical, they're useful words. Sometimes people tell me that women emerging is democratizing leading. It's a nice expression, and I hope we are in many ways. But I'm pretty clear that democratizing is using simple words and good and beautiful examples. Ones that ring true. And that's what Katie's just done. Thank you so much, Katie. My rant is over about hashtags. Back to my thanks to you for this. And the words that are firmly in my head are do not delegate strategy, comms, or talent. Yes, the rest, delegate away. But as you do, frame it and give it a clear objective. So thank you, Katie, enormously. Next week, we'll have some more practical advice. In the meantime, sending you lots of love, Julia. There's also loads more you can learn from other women if you go to our website, womenemerging.org. That's womenemerging.org. Over time, we are determined to redefine leading so that more of us can say, if that's leading, I'm in.